voices are bad.
They do.
This is Matthew Pendergraf reporting from the 2016 Ocean Sciences Meeting in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm here with Krista Jankowski of Tulane University's Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences, and she's showing some work here. Krista, can you please tell me about the work you're showing?
Sure. This is a project looking to quantify the Mississippi Delta and Chenier Plain wetlands resistance to things like relative sea level rise, and we're doing that using a very large data set that's come out of the USGS and the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority. It's called the Coastwide Reference Monitoring System, or CRIMS for short, and that's a system where they go out and they take measurements multiple times a year at 391 sites around coastal Louisiana. So from the Birdfoot Delta all the way to the edge of Louisiana near Texas, and even up above the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain. So they have sites all over the coast, and they're measuring surface elevation change. So how is the surface either rising or falling relative to where it was the year previous? And then also vertical accretion. So how much sediment or organic material is actually being added onto the surface every year? With that data, what we can look at is, you know, how these sites are faring against rising sea level and how they are either being keeping up with sea level rise, or maybe there's an elevation deficit and they might be in danger of sea level rise overtaking them and them breaking apart, no longer being part of the landscape. So our work is to look at a couple of different variables, one being shallow subsidence. And subsidence is basically how the land surface is sinking or going below where it was previously, and how that compares to the vertical accretion or how much material is being added. So something's being added, but it's also sinking. Do those even out? And so it's kind of a net, you know, the land surface seems to be where it was before, or is there more subsidence? So actually it's lowering even though material is getting added on top. Or is there more accretion? So it's lowering, but more stuff's being added on top, and so it looks like it's growing in elevation. And what we're finding is that across the coast, shallow subsidence is pretty uniform. In the Chenier Plain and the Mississippi Delta, we have a pretty uniform amount of sinking, but vertical accretion really varies. And there's a lot less vertical accretion in the Chenier Plain, so in the western part of the state. So what that says is that the sites over in the western part of the state in the Chenier Plain are actually in a more perilous position than those sites in the Mississippi Delta, just because they're not adding enough material to kind of counteract that sinking. Another thing that we wanted to look at is how does that actually end up comparing to relative sea level rise. So we need to know how much the shallow portion of the land is sinking, but there's also land underneath that that's also sinking, so we have to add in deep subsidence to that. And then sea level isn't static. There's, you know, the level of sea is rising every year. So we also have to add that in to kind of calculate our relative sea level rise. So sea level, if it rises up, but then also the land below the sea is sinking, it seems like the sea level is rising even more than it actually did. And when we compare all of those things together, this relative sea level rise to the amount of vertical accretion or the stuff that's being added on the land surface, we can say, okay, is enough being added that the sea isn't kind of racing up too high and then threatening to drown these wetlands? And what we find is, because the vertical accretion rates are lower in the Chenier Plain, we're seeing that there's a lot more wetland area that's actually being threatened by this relative sea level rise. We have an elevation deficit there that we don't really see in a lot of the Mississippi Delta sites. So essentially, what we see is that wetlands across coastal Louisiana are responding to sediment supply, the growth of the plants, and sea level rise in lots of different ways. But on average, what we find is that the Mississippi Delta is a little bit better prepared, or it's faring a little bit better compared to relative sea level rise than in the Chenier Plain. And a big caveat to this is that this is only over the last 5 to 10 years, so it's a very short window of observation, and we have no way of knowing from this data set whether that would continue on into the future. So if we're looking at 10, 20, 100 years out into the future, we don't know if marshes keep up with sea level rise on those kind of time scales the same way they do in short time scales.
excellent to see if I understand. We have a snapshot, basically, of the health of different portions of the wetlands here in the region, and you're taking into consideration subsidence, so lowering of the land as well as compaction of those sediments. The sediment input, which will keep those lands above sea level, you're taking into account relative sea level rise. And it sounds like you've found perhaps an increased susceptibility of the Chenier Plain. So that's a little bit concerning. And although this is just over a short-term period, it's, in a sense, perhaps the current state of affairs for these areas. And so usually data takes a really long time to get feedback. So this is interesting to have this current state health of these wetlands. Would you say that's right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one of the other big takeaways should be that we're really, really lucky to have the CRIM system that the USGS and CPRA have put together. It's a great data set. A lot of people go out and take these measurements. I had nothing to do with taking the measurements. I've just sat behind my computer and analyzed the data, and it's just been wonderful to have this resource, and we're really lucky here because it's such a unique system, and because we're so concerned about the coast, we're really lucky that there's been this investment by these organizations, by the government, to put the money towards this so that we can have the data to do these analyses, because without this system, if just one researcher goes out, they might be able to put up 10-20 measurement devices and look at it maybe 3 years, 5 years if you're a PhD student, but to have something that's managed and going to be long term, it's really a wonderful resource.
Excellent. Thank you for highlighting that. So thank you, CRIMS. Thank you, Krista Jankowski, for doing your work. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.